The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved. Read by the author. For all the girls and women, young and old, who've loved the Neverland and who've wanted to go there for something far more exciting than spring cleaning. Piper Pan and Her Merry Band, Book 1. A Glimpse Ahead. How long will it take to get to the Neverland? Pip craned her neck to peer up at the elderly fairy hauling her through the sky by the belt loop. Heck, for all she knew, maybe it was her fairy godmother. Great, great fairy godmother, she thought. That depends on you. The ancient pixie's voice, strained with effort, shimmered through the chilly night air. Second star to the right and straight on till morning. The directions rang in Pip's mind. She'd seen the play Peter Pan on stage so many times she practically knew the lines by heart. Her father had designed sets for more than one production, and she'd watched rehearsal after rehearsal of her mother teaching sword play. Piper gulped. The memory both thrilled and threatened. She'd always hoped she'd get to the Neverland, but after her parents were stolen, she'd been afraid to think much about the magical place for fear something else bad would happen. The long-remembered image of the dragon-born pirate ship framed against the full moon over the Space Needle had haunted her for 5 years. Now here she was, on her 11th birthday, if it could possibly be believed, sailing through the air toward the Neverland, but first. Prelude. Sometime earlier. Royal intervention. Public declarations and courtly pronouncements have their place, but the real decisions in the fairy kingdom happen at tea time in the palace sunroom. If we do not take action soon, my queen, said King Oberon, sipping his Earl Grey tea from a porcelain cup. The Neverland will collapse forevermore. Its loss shall be a blow to our magical realm. And what, pray tell, do you suggest, my dear? Queen Titania peered over her rhinestone-studded reading glasses at her husband, laying her newspaper aside. You know as well as I we're bound by free will. The king of the fairies nabbed an extra piece of candied ginger and popped it into his mouth. "Free will, dunghill," he said. Titania raised an regal eyebrow. "Really, darling." "The fools have gone too far," Oberon said. He raised a hand in acknowledgment. "I grant you, overt action is not the way. But nothing written says we cannot lean." The queen held his gaze. Her shoulders slumped a smidgen, her wings drooped. "'Tis now or never, 'tis true," she said. A moment more and she straightened, lifting her teacup in a salute. "Perhaps, my king, we shall lean, just a bit." "Good morning, Bell, formerly Tinker Bell." Bell burrowed her head into the feather pillow, willing the regal wake-up call away. Why wouldn't they give it up? She hadn't gotten out of bed in 2 days. All condo units in Fairyland's Crystal City came with the required portraits of the fairy king and queen. Belle hadn't realized when she'd moved in, how long ago, was it months, years, that they talked daily. Good morning, the king sang. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you. Belle covered her ears and pulled her duvet over her head. She just couldn't see the point in getting up. Come to think of it, she hadn't seen much point in anything lately. Belle, formerly of the Neverland, it's time for morning Tai Chi on the quad. Queen Titania's voice was much harder to ignore. Belle attempted to sit up, her old bones protesting. "Yes, your highnesses." Gravity won, and she fell back into the warm cocoon of her four-poster bed. "Right away, your highnesses." Surely they'd go bother someone else in a minute. "If you do not wish to join the rest, at least do a sitting meditation here in your room," said King Oberon. "Don't coddle her, dear," said the queen. "Bell, you'll begin on the count of three. If not, you shall know our wrath. 1, 2. No help for it. She was going to have to move. With a monumental effort, Bell slid out of bed. She crumpled into a half lotus on the plush carpet, her back propped against the bed frame. All right, I'm here," she mumbled. The chilly morning air raised goose flesh on her arms. Her ivory silk nightgown was all beauty and no warmth. "Allow me," said the king from his portrait. Merry flames filled the nearby fireplace. "An older fairy like yourself deserves to be waited on. Am I not right?" Bell bristled. It was true. She had seen more years than she cared to count. If she'd remained ever young, as she had during her days with Peter Pan, it wouldn't matter. But since he'd left the Neverland, and since, well, that other thing, she knew she showed at least 70 years of her age. Still, no one had a right to point that out to a lady. Belle managed. The warmth from the fire relaxed her. If she just closed her eyes and pretended to meditate, maybe she could sleep a little longer. Belle rested her hands in her lap, palms up, middle fingers touching thumbs, and took 3 deep breaths. "Very good, Belle," called the queen. "And thus it begins." Belle began sinking through gray layers in her mind. She'd pretend to meditate and instead have a little nap. Sliding toward sleep, she thought she heard the queen speak again, as though from a long way away. "Do not lean too hard, my gentle king." The visions came fast and furious behind Belle's eyelids with crystalline clarity. She stiffened, as if connected to an electric current. There was Peter, in all his youthful glory. "Oh, Peter," Belle sighed, "why did you ever have to leave?" The youth in her mind folded his arms in that know-it-all way of his, turned on his heel, and disappeared. Belle watched, as if through thick glass, as Peter took the hand of a smiling blonde girl. She was one of the long line of spring cleaning girls. That one was called Isabel. Belle winced. She still couldn't believe Peter had left the Neverland to grow up with her. Just because the girl had been clever enough to tell Peter he was too cowardly custard to grow up, he'd had to go and prove her wrong. Irritation twisted in Belle's stomach. In a flash, Peter and the girl were grown, dressed in wedding regalia, walking down the aisle. Peter looked so handsome in his tuxedo. He leaned in to give his bride one of those thimble things with his lips. Belle squeezed her eyes tighter. She didn't want to watch Peter love someone else. Before Belle could break this strange parade of visions, Peter aged. Strands of gray wove through his red-brown wavy hair. The bride on his arm wasn't his wife-to-be anymore. It was Peter's daughter, Angela, with brown wavy hair tumbling to her waist. He was giving her away in marriage to a dark-haired, dark-eyed man. A tear rolled down Peter's cheek as he watched Angela say, "I do." The scene shifted again. Peter was sitting behind the steering wheel of a car, windshield running thick with rain, wipers unable to keep up with the torrent. "Look out, Peter!" a woman's voice cried. Belle didn't know if the voice was hers or Isabel's. Their screams wove together, shrilling as the headlights of a truck plowed straight into the car. Everything went dark. Belle didn't want to see any more. It didn't seem to matter what Belle wanted. A wooded cemetery appeared. Peter's daughter, Angela, stood with her husband, their babe in his arms. Angela laid a bouquet of flowers at the base of 2 headstones. "Mom? Dad?" Angela said, her voice unsteady. "This is our daughter, your granddaughter. Her name is Piper. I wish you could have met her." Belle felt tears streaming down her cheeks. Her heart hurt. Her breath came in hiccuping gasps. Again, before she could break away from the picture in her head, it changed. Belle felt light, as a fairy ought to feel. She was sitting on the softest of clouds, looking down at her emerald-green magical island. Her heart bumped, the ache now one of longing. The Neverland, home. The sea sparkled in the sunlight. The mountain peaks glimmered white. There was Pirate's Cove, the Jolly Roger's sails fluttering in the breeze. She imagined she could see her pirate protégé, Captain Littlejack, standing at the helm, bellowing orders at his crew. Belle's breathing slowed, and her lips curved in a smile. It was all right. No matter what else had happened, the Neverland was there, comforting her, beckoning her. But it wasn't all right. The scene mutated, like the edges of a burning letter. The island blackened. Trees stood barren. Vegetation gave way to sand, and all signs of life disappeared. Fear stabbed at Belle's heart. Had the fairy Pearl been right all along? Had the enchantment become the Neverland's curse? The image of Captain Littlejack filled Belle's mind. "I'll not stop till I have enough," he roared. His once blonde hair and goatee had streaks of silver now, but his features were as handsome as ever. His blue eyes flashed, and he gripped the silver vial he wore around his neck like jewelry with both hook and claw. "I've almost enough to grow real hands." He held up his metal appendages, clearly imagining 10 digits whole and sound. Belle could feel his yearning, a force that threatened to crack her chest open. Then it seemed to Belle he was looking straight at her, a snarl on his pretty face. "I don't care what promises I made, Belle. I'll feed the dragon the whole human race if necessary. Who needs you or your blasted magical island?" Belle's heart hammered as if the threat were imminent. Anger rolled through her, and she longed to flail at him with her fists. But all she could do was watch. Little Jack sent his first mate, Flea, up the rigging with 2 lanterns, glowing red. Standing at the ship's prow, Little Jack shouted skyward, "'Tis time to hunt, me dragon!" An enormous black beast appeared above the ship, eyes whirling red, powerful wings blocking the sky. Lightning cracked and thunder shook. The dragon arced into the cove, its bulk submerged in the dark, roiling waves. Breaking the surface with a roar, it coiled its massive body about the Jolly Roger. Mighty wings beating, it launched into the sky, bearing the pirate ship with it. The image faded to black. Belle waited for more, but the movie playing in her head seemed to have finished. She used her fingers to peel her eyelids open and looked around. She sat still, leaning against her bed, in her elegant beige condo in Fairyland's Crystal City. Trembling with recognition of the truth, she rose, wobbling, to her feet. The fog that had surrounded her for weeks had lifted. She dressed and gathered a few things, moving more quickly and easily as she went. Ready at last, she addressed the portraits. "Your Highnesses, I've got to go." "Oh?" The Queen raised her eyebrow. Belle narrowed her eyes. No one took that tone with her. "Yes, I have an heir to fetch," she snapped. "Peter Pan's granddaughter may be just a girl, but she's the only chance the Neverland's got." With that, Belle blinked twice and disappeared into thin air. The King and Queen looked at each other and smiled. "How is that for a lean, my sweetest queen?" Oberon asked. Titania's eyes twinkled. "'Twas subtle and perfectly aimed," she said. "I could not have done it better had it been me." "High praise indeed," said the King.